your mind. You'll have to forgive me. I need to drink a little bit. I had my voice probably will struggle preaching three times today. I had to yell at too many noisy people last night at the Christmas banquet. There are so many people misbehaving last night. So, okay. Our series, as we continue on, and like I said, we probably got to go through talking about our mind till the end of December, and then we're going to begin, I think, a spinoff of the series when it's to help us a little bit with overcoming or pulling down strongholds in our life and looking at what a stronghold is, understanding how we can overcome a stronghold, and looking at some different strongholds that some people have. And you say they combine, they connect with one another, because it begins where? It begins in our mind. Here's your theme verses for this series. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." You know what? If we want to have victory, we're going to have to become mighty through God. We cannot do it on our own. We cannot defeat the flesh on our own. We need to fight, and we need to fight through God's ways. And we need to become strong in God's powers and strong in God's might through our Bible, through prayer, through submitting to God. And then we begin by casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. If you took that verses and just sat there and meditated a little bit, boy, how nice would it be to be able to say, I have captured every thought I have and brought into the obedience of Jesus Christ. I don't think about anger issues. I don't think about bitterness. I don't think about envy or jealousy or greed. I'm not worried. I'm not anxious about things. I'm not having an immoral thought life. I don't have any ill will towards someone. The Bible's saying that you can have that type of brain power, that type of thought life, but this is reaching to the heights of sanctification. This is getting to the spot where God can help us. And because it begins here, if we can help control our thought lives, then we're going to be able to control our lives ourselves. So this morning's lesson is this, as you see is on your paper, says is guided by a clean mind. We need to be guided by a clean mind. And today we're going to look at having a clean mind a little bit. So, first thing I think we need to deal with is, how does sin creep into our lives? When you become a Christian, the Bible says you become a new creature. Look what the Bible says there. It says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That being true, how does the sin then creep into our lives as children of God? If we sin, does that mean that we're not a Christian? No, that's not found in the Bible. I know some people believe that, and I don't know how those people, they can live lives that are sinless, because I know that's a really tough thing to do, to never ever do anything wrong. Sin creeps back in our life, and Jesus even declares it has nothing to do about losing our salvation. And I give unto you eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them, let me make sure we can get all that on there. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. What is the Bible saying there? The Bible is saying there that we have eternal security, because when we become a child of God, we're placed in the hand of the Father, and there is no one who is able to take them out of the hand of the Father. It's that relationship we have, Father, Son, Father, Daughter, and it's the idea of God being the Father and we being the child. Nothing will ever change that. But how does sin creep back in our life? And this is found in verses 19 and 20 here in Ephesians chapter number 4. It says, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. Today the thought is, how can a Christian let their lives creep back into sin, and how can we have a clean mind? How in the world does certain Christians end up doing some type of horrible, wicked sin? And you're just like, how in the world did they ever get to that spot? And that's what we're going to show you a little bit today, how sin creeps into a person's life. It begins, I believe, with an insensitive conscience. An insensitive conscience. It says, who being past feeling? Yeah, I don't get you saying, I might not get that after first thinking about it, but after looking at it and understanding who being past feeling, that we no longer have a feeling when sin comes, that no longer we become insensitive to the speaking of the Holy Spirit of God. You think about what the Bible says it says seared with a hot iron. Remember how we talked about that when the cow was branded, the flank of the cow. Remember how we said that that skin has become deadened. No longer does it have any type of feeling. And like many times, like a branded animal, we allow our conscience to become seared with a hot iron because of the things of this world. You know, sometimes you, as a kid, you would, your mom might get you ready and get you all dressed up for church. And he says, okay, now stay clean. Has any of your parents ever told you to stay clean? You know, you know what's going to happen inevitably, especially if you're a boy, you know what? Dirt just seems to attract to the boys. I mean, it's just going to happen. And this is what we're talking about when a Christian's life and dealing with sin is going to inevitably creep back in and try to have its way in your life. And it begins right here. It begins right now, at this spot in time, when you become past feeling. When you no longer hear the Holy Spirit of God speak to you, when you no longer feel the conviction of the Spirit of God, when you no longer hear God trying to say, hey, you need to stop doing this, you've gone. You've passed the feeling. It's the idea that who being past feeling. It means that no longer do we feel remorse for the things that we used to hate doing. Instead, we become partner to it and even began to enjoy it in some ways or another. This was found in the Bible. God had a message for the prophet. God had a message for the prophet Jeremiah to deliver to the nation of Israel. He had this message to Israel in chapter number 5. He said, "Declare in the house of Jacob and publish it in Judah, saying, hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear ye not, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass it? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it." What the Bible is saying here and what God is saying, he says, look, you have eyes, but you don't see. You have ears, but you don't hear. He's saying, look, you're foolish because of the fact that I have given you commandments to do. And I've sent prophets, Isaiah beforehand, Jeremiah there, all the contemporaries that were there with him that kept on preaching and teaching, trying to draw people back to God. Yes, they heard, but they would not, they had ears, but they would not hear the message. They had eyes and saw what God was doing, but they would not see. And it says, here it is, will ye not tremble at my presence? Saying, won't you just see that I am God and submit and tremble at the presence of God? And by the time they get to chapter number 8, you see that they have another message because they refuse to repent. Chapter 8, just a few chapters later, it says, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay. They were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. And in the time of their visitation, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. They had a chance to repent. God was saying that, hey, look, over and over, I sent prophets, but you refused to hear. Over and over, I allowed things to happen in your life, but you refused to get it right. And now you become to the point where you're not even ashamed of what you do. I don't know about you, but I've seen it happen in some people's lives that claim to be Christians. They would never consider doing something, and then they've let their conscience, they let the world and the deception of the devil. We looked at that last time, how he causes people to get into a little bit of sin. And now not only are they not upset about their sin, they love their sin. They glorify their sin. I don't see what's wrong with this. What's the big deal that I don't go to church? What's the big deal that I use this language or listen to this music or read these books or watch these things? Their conscience has been seared. There's a story told by about Dr. Paul Brand. He was a physician who did much to advance the treatment of leprosy. As he lived among the lepers to study them and treat them, he would regularly take baths in scalding water. His purpose in this was to discover if there were any parts of his body where he might have lost his feeling. He knew that if there was any part of his body that had lost sensitivity to the boiling water, it was there that the leprosy had attacked him. So where his life become, so it would show him where he had become insensitive to the leprosy. So the question is, where have you become insensitive in your Christian lives? If we would go back to maybe 10 years ago and consider the things that used to bother us. I don't know about you. I remember as a child or people used to get upset when they heard a curse word on TV. I mean, it used to make, you know what they used to do? They used to turn the TV off and would never watch that show again. But you know what happens today? They just got to look at it and like, man, I wish they wouldn't do that. Never get upset about it. I remember days and times when things would cause people to blush. Immoral scenes on TV would be something that we would just wouldn't even put up with. But we're still appalled at those things. Many times we're not, because we've let the things of this world enter into our mind. Many times we are not appalled at the lies that we tell, or even the bitterness or pride that we have in our hearts. We allow things to become our pet sins. And many times we're allowing words and thoughts and music and friends and entertainments into our lives that would have bothered our conscience a few years ago, but today doesn't even bother us. Why is that? That's because of the fact that we have not repented when things first begin to bother us. We need to cultivate a clear conscience. We need to get back to the Word of God and see when God tells us to see and hear when God tells us to hear, and not be past the feeling when the Holy Spirit of God convicts our hearts. If we want to have a clean mind, we need to get back to the spot where sin bothers us and allow God to work in our hearts and mind. How come it doesn't bother us anymore? And when something is worn, or when we see something or hear something, we've just gotten accustomed to it. And that's not going to let our minds be guided by a clean mind. So where does it get to the spot where who being past feeling? What happens? We'll see, there's an invited corruption. You look what it says in verse number 19. It says, who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. See, once the conscience is seared, it's easy to plunge forward into wrong thinking. See, the door into our minds have been cracked open, and sin is just automatically thinks it has been invited inside. It's amazing how you can't just sin a little bit. And that's where we listen to the lies of the devil and the deceitfulness of the devil. We think it's just a little bit. It won't hurt us. Sin will never stay little. It always grows. That little sin in our mind can grow until it causes our whole life's direction to change. Sin will not stay small. You say, well, I can handle a little bit of watching this. I can handle a little bit of listening to this. I can handle a little lie. I can handle a little bit of anger, a little bit of bitterness. I can handle a little bit of greed. It always grow. Yes. Little things can hurt you. I think about the story of when I have a kidney stone. I had never been in more pain in my life when I had that kidney stone. I haven't been in a lot of painful situations in my life, at least physically. And I remember that night when I went to the hospital, I didn't know what was wrong with me. I told my wife, I said, I don't know what's wrong with me. I could not get rest. I could not get anything else like this. And I just was in pain. And I went to the hospital. I think it was probably the only time in my life I've ever been to an emergency room. And, the lady doctor walked in and says, I know what's wrong with you. I said, well, good. Can you tell me? I said, she was proud that she knew exactly what was wrong without looking at anything. And I said, she says, you have a kidney stone. I said, okay, how do we get rid of it? And she's like, you don't want to know. And, I said, okay. And so they gave me some pain medicine, made me feel better. And they gave me this little thing that I was supposed to try to catch the kidney stone out with. And I said, doctor, what am I supposed to be looking for? They says, it's not very impressive. It's probably like the size of a grain of sand. Now, I heard that to pass a kidney stone is like having a baby. Of course, I've never experienced that. And so I'm thinking, okay, great. I'm going to have this little midget, and it's going to be painful. And you know what? That little thing caused a lot of pain. You know what? In our Christian lives, when we allow little things in, it can cause a lot of pain too. Like the grain of sand that creates an intense pain, when we open our mind to the mind's door to the thought of sin, we're asking for big problems. You know, sometimes people think I'm just so ridiculous, or preachers are crazy, and the fact that they want us to live holy lives, how Paul himself was emphatic when he says, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision. It's saying don't make any type of provision in your flesh. Don't even get to a spot where you might be tempted. Don't even go around where places where you might be, where things might cause you to go the wrong way. Don't make any type of provision for your flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. He even says in Ephesians 4, he says, neither give place to the devil. And Solomon was wise in his wisdom when he warned, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not, because sin does not stay little. If we're going to stay clean, we must understand that we're past feeling sometimes. We've gotten to the spot where things do not bother us like they used to. Now, somebody else's sin might bother us, but other things that are in our lives, we think that we're okay because we think that we can handle a little bit of sin. But when the sin comes in, it creates this great thing. And when it creates this great thing, we are headed to a mess. And this little sin that we think What's the big deal? I don't need to listen to this. I don't need to respect this. We come to the spot where we allow these little sins to become a problem. And then what happens next is an increased continuation to work all uncleanness, to work all uncleanness, like cancer. Sin begins to work its way into every part of our lives. If we let that door creak open, sin gets in there and begins to spread just as cancer would. Adam and Eve allowed the doubt and ended up in disobedience. Lot allowed a division and ended up in drunkenness. Achan allowed covetousness and ended up in a cemetery. Samson allowed a look and ended up in the lust. David started out missing the battle and ended up murdering in brutality. If we would just get this idea, what sin will do to our lives and how much it can destroy and completely wreck and ruin the direction of our lives, and we would see that we should hate sin and be able to fight against it. See, no sin starts big. No sin starts big. Sin does not start with murder, rape, or robbery. It begins with a thought and grows into an action. And this is why we're in our mind series, because of the fact we want to get focused on doing what is right, because what we think about is what we become. And every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. God went into a lot of trouble to tell us how to clearly define commandments. And we just cannot continue to just try to rub them out little by little. We cannot continue to rationalize his word. Burke said it this way: the instances are exceeding rare of man immediately passing over a clear marked line from virtue into a declared vice and corruption. He says there are middle tints and shades between the two extremes. There is something uncertain on the confines of the two empires which they must pass through and render the change easy and imperceptible. You know, sometimes when we allow sin just to kind of enter in, we allow a little thing to come in, we don't even realize as we begin to change and change and change. And we look back that 10 years ago, I hate it when I heard a curse word on TV, or I hate it when I saw this, or when I listened to this, or when someone said that dirty joke around me, or when does someone take the Lord's name in vain, and we've become seared. Things just don't bother us anymore. See, we're not being guided by a clean conscience. And then David never dreamed that he would have committed murder. You think about the great track record he had. He would never dream that he committed murder, but he began with a little sin. He had conquered all these great nations. He says, I don't need to go out to battle. I don't need to go out to war. And what happens? We see that the sin that transpired all the way down to killing one of his greatest warriors. What's next? You see, it's an inflamed clamoring. An inflamed clamoring. Now, what are you getting at? He says, it's done with greediness. It's done with greediness. That zero is not supposed to be there. There's not 190 verses in Ephesians chapter number 4. I'm sorry. The fire of sin is hard to put out. The devil has plenty of fuel to throw on the fire to keep it burning for a long time. You know, I know some of you know, I went and taught a couples retreat last month, and one of the things, they had a bonfire out on the beach. You know, it was at nighttime. It was the month of October, so nobody was there out on the beach, obviously. And there were some of the younger people that were there, and they had this lighter fluid that they were going to use to start the fire up with. And they were there, and they started playing with the lighter fluid. These are 20, 25 years old, and some men that were in their 40s that thought they were 20 or 25, and they were taking the lighter fluid and just playing with it, making the fire go up. And just messing around, and I was nowhere near it. It wasn't my responsibility to tell them no, so I just sat back and backed up a little bit and just watched. But it was amazing how just that little bit of fluid just caused the flames to get higher and higher. You know what? The devil will always give you opportunities, always give you ways to encourage the flames to get higher and building on the bonfires of things. He'll send things in your way to help distract you from what is right. He'll send things in your way to try to encourage you to build and continue to build and continue to build. If you have your questioning one portion of the Bible about a certain topic, he'll start allowing you to hear and see different things that might be contrary to what the Bible says. And it will build to a point where we become greedy about it. And this sin becomes something that we no longer just put up with. It becomes something we desire. See, if you allow a little sin into your mind, and the devil will be sure to add the fuel to that sin. within a very short time, you will have a fire of sin burning in your life that will be difficult to extinguish. For in a very short period of time, this sin will become something that is consuming to you, and you must do something to put it out. We must learn to not let our conscience be seared, because that little sin, when it creeps in, it becomes bigger. And the devil keeps on building it. And to, you get to the point where you get, you enjoy the sin that you once had hated, abhorred. There used to be a time when something bothered us so much, but maybe we even take part of that now. Look what it says in Romans 1:32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I think what the Bible says, and I know some young people that grew up in our youth group, and I know some young people that used to say, well, I know this is wrong. I hate it when the people do this, and I hate it when I hear this and watch this. And now, as you get older, you see people change, and sometimes, you know what? They might be a part of the exact same thing. And I've seen it happen in my own life. I've seen it happen in where I grew up. And I knew people, and now 20 years seeing them out of school, the things, the commitments they made to God, the things that they promised they would never do, their life has been wrecked and ruined because now they do them. Not only do they not hate it anymore, they let that little bit of sin come in, and it grew so much, and now they relish in it, and it becomes to the point where they are clamoring and wanting it more. Their appetite of sin increased more and more to where now they are proud of it. You think about the homosexual movement that's out there where 50 years ago, you would never have people saying that they're homosexual. Now they're flaunting it. Now they're demanding rights. And that's this is the whole point of a little bit of sin. And many homosexuals will give you a testimony. I used to hate homosexuality. I used to think it was disgusting. And then, you know what? I became enlightened. And they let a little bit of sin into their minds and their thought process. And what has it grown? It's become greedy. It's become to a spot where they are clamoring for more and more. You see that the divorce rates or the breakup rates amongst homosexuals that is at a greater rate than even what it is at those that are not homosexuals, because they're always wanting something and they're trying to please their flesh. And no one's ever going to please your flesh. Your sin will continue on. You cannot just say, well, I'm just going to leave it right here. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse to the point where the thing you used to hate that you did, now you're going to relish in it. Think about some of the verses in the Bible. Your appetite for sin will increase more and more. The mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. Sin that was once feared is now commonplace. How much more abominable and filthy is man which drinketh iniquity like water. Doing wrong is now as normal as getting a drink of water. People look at it and say, what's the big deal? Everybody does it. And they said, you got to let your kids do that. No, you don't. You don't have to live a wicked life. If you're going to be guided by a clean conscience, you do not have to say that's okay. Now, once again, I'm not saying you are judge and executioner of everybody else's sin. I know you need to be careful for yourselves and give the opportunity to be minister and be able to be a blessing to others and present the truth of the Word of God when it comes. But in your own life, be guided by a clear conscience and a clean conscience. If you're unhappy with maybe some way your friends and your family does, make sure that you're clear and you're clean so you can be used of God to help them back. Next thing, an ignored communication. How did this all happen? How in the world did it ever get? And it came right here. It's we ignored Jesus Christ. But you have not so learned Christ. See, Paul reminds us that we did not learn this wrong pattern from Christ. All through the process of closing our mind to God, the Holy Spirit tries to warn us. And the question is, are you ignoring the warnings of God today? I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life where I knew I shouldn't be doing something. And the Holy Spirit of God is just yelling, hey, what are you doing? Stop this. You're not supposed to be doing this. And you just, you know, it's ignoring the warnings of God. Yeah, it's when maybe we become angry or upset, or maybe when we won't give a track, or maybe when we don't come to church, or when we don't say, Pastor, I don't feel that way anymore. You've gone past feeling then, like we talked about. You already have an insensitive conscience, because the Holy Spirit of God, if you're God's child, He's going to chasten you. He's going to send and convict sin. He's going to allow things to come into your life that is going to be anti-God, and things are going to, the sin will, that's part of what He does is conviction. What does it say here in Isaiah? It says, because when I called you, you did not answer. When I spake, you did not hear, but did evil before my eyes and did choose that which I delighted, wherein I delighted not. He's saying in Isaiah, he's saying, look, when I called you and told you to stop, you didn't stop. You would not hear. You kept on doing it. You kept on doing it. He says, instead, you choose to do evil before mine eyes. I mean, isn't that, you're doing it right in front of God. I don't know about you, but sometimes when you have to correct your child and they do something wrong, don't you touch that. And then they purposely touch it right in front of you. What do you want to do to them? You want to take them? You want to wring their neck? It says, don't you know who I am? You know, God's saying here, he says, I told you not to do it. And I said, no. And the Holy Spirit of God is just yelling. The Word of God says, stop. And you know what? And we're like, here I am, God. I'm doing it. And you remember how you do it, well, you felt when your child did that to you? You just wanted to smack him. You know, thankfully, God just doesn't smack us sometimes. Sometimes we need it. I know some of you got to step out, and we're going to finish up this last slide, and we're going to close in a word of prayer here. Remember, we did not learn this of God. What happened was we ignored the communications of God. We chose just not to listen to what God has told us to do. And if we are going to let sin creep into our lives, we need to make sure we're not ignoring it. Listen to this sad verse. It says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. God is saying there, I want to help you. How often have I called, and he says, I even sent the prophets to you, and you stoned them. And he's saying, I would have gathered you together. I would have treated you the way that the hen treats his chicks and the idea of the protection and the nourishment. I would have done all that for you. But those last sad words is, and you would not. We can get right with God. We can be right. God is calling us to, but we ignore the communication. We become insensitive with a conscience, and we begin to allow these things to build up in our lives until it becomes to the point where we're enjoying them so much that we do not see anything wrong with it. We think the preacher is ridiculous. We think the Word of God is outdated. We listen to our friends more than we listen to the truths of the Word of God, and we need to learn to understand. We want victory. Once again, this is bringing every captivity into the thought of Jesus Christ. We must be guided by a clean conscience. It begins with repenting of our sins and asking God to help us to understand the wickedness that's all around us. The Bible says in Revelation 2:29, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. When we're talking about the Word of God this morning, are you willing to listen to what God's Word says? Or is your conscience so insensitive to God's words that you can hear the message and say, this is what I need, and just walk away and not respond? That's what Israel did. And in the end, it said, you did exactly what I told you not to do. You did it right in my sight. And you're not even ashamed of it. You've lost your blush because you've ignored the communication. Let's go ahead and have a word of God.